And I'd like to speak to you now about this thought of God's formula for success. God's formula for success. I think the word success is a word that we recognize what it means. And I believe we would say, yes, that's something I would like attributed to my life. I would like my life to be described as a successful life. I would like my career to be described as a successful career. I would like whatever I'm involved in, I want it to be successful. We never set out and say that in this area of my life, I am seeking to be a failure. Nobody sets out to do that. Now, let's just be honest, though. We all fail. We all fail. I'm glad Jesus doesn't fail, but I know I failed, and I know probably everyone here has failed, and we'll probably do it again. But our goal, what we're striving for, and I'm not even talking right now about necessarily spiritual things, we want to be successful. And I believe we find in these verses of Scripture this afternoon three things that God uses and says, hey, if you want to be successful, follow these three things. There's probably more than that, but I'm talking within the context of what we read just a moment ago. Now, as we think about the Christian life, I believe there are sometimes misunderstandings as we think about the Christian life. First off, when we say Christian life, I want us to understand that. The Christian life, or being a Christian, isn't simply a decision that we make one time. Now, we accept Christ at one moment, but it's a life, not a moment. You know, it's 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, however many years from the moment that you got saved until now, however much time is between you and when you got saved, and each day that you live, the gap widens, but it's not just a momentary decision. Yes, I'm not saying that we don't accept Christ at one point. We do, but then it's not just accepting Him and then everything else continues the same as it always was. I think our testimony today on the video is proving exactly what I'm talking about. That when you come to Christ, something begins to change. It takes maybe a different amount of time. It may take years for certain things to change, but immediately things begin to change. That's why I like to refer to it as the Christian life. You can go to your bookstore today, the Christian bookstore. If you do, go very carefully. Because you will find many things in the Christian bookstore that will try to help us to see that the Christian life can be easier. I don't know about you, but I've read the Bible a little bit. I need to read it a lot more. There's a few things that I've noticed in the Bible about some of the Christians, about a lot of the Christians in the Bible. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. It was difficult. There was a struggle going on. Now, hey, praise God, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm not saying that when you become a Christian, maybe you're here today and you say, I'm not even a Christian, Pastor Turner. I'm just kind of checking this thing out. And you're making it sound like I shouldn't even want to be a Christian. Oh, my friend, you see, the beauty of this is this, that while the Christian life is not easy, and while the Christian life is not just everything going how we want it to go, there's nothing better than being a Christian. There's nothing better than being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing better than knowing that my sins are forgiven. I have a home in heaven. I have a place, John 14 says. I have a place being prepared for me. And I'm so thankful that I have that peace that passeth all understanding. But the Christian life, God did not save me to make it all easy for me. I mean, just look at the cross. You see anything easy about the cross? I don't see anything easy about the cross. For me to even become a Christian, Jesus had to die a cruel death. Jesus had to go to that cross and humble himself, become obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Well, this Christian life, while it's not necessarily easy, we could say that it is definitely a battle. It is spiritual warfare. It is whatever, however way you want to describe it. I will tell you this by way of introduction, that in your own strength, in my own strength, the enemy, we are no match for the enemy. If you try to go at the enemy in your own strength, I can guarantee you one thing, you will fail. He will win, you will fail. But the good news is this, there's no reason for us to go into this battle without going with the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4 and verse number 4. We have the ability to be victorious in the Christian life. I'm going to have to skip a little bit of this for time's sake. But let's just think about the book of Joshua just for a moment here before we get into these formula for success. Moses, the great leader of Israel. The Bible tells us here in verse number 1 that Moses is dead. Now, as we think about this, Moses is called a servant, and we'll talk maybe a little bit more about that later if the Lord allows us to. But Moses definitely is known for leadership, and although he wasn't really excited about being a leader at first, and yet God made him into a leader. But now Moses is gone, and now it's time for Joshua. The wandering has taken place, and now Israel is about to take possession of the land that God had promised to Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter number 12. Much time has gone by. Much wandering has gone by. But they're about to enter the promised land. Now, the promised land is not without battles, if you know your Bible. Okay? Just because they crossed over the Jordan River, praise God for that faith. That was a good point, Brother Cripps, that they had to take that first step into the Jordan River, unlike the Red Sea, where God parted it and they just walked across. That helped me. Thank you. They didn't go into Canaan land and say, "Hey, everybody, we're here." And everybody just ran as fast as they could and left their cities unattended and said, "You can have our city." No, Canaan land is not a picture. Canaan land is not a picture of heaven. We have a song or two that may tell us that it's a picture of heaven, but I'm sorry, it's not. You know that when I go to heaven, I'm not going to fight any battles. Praise God. Hey, when I go to heaven, I'm not going to have to withstand temptation anymore. Praise God for that. No, when I go to heaven, every battle has been won. Every battle has been taken care of. Heaven is without sin. There's no sin allowed in heaven. And God is there, and our Savior is there, and many who have gone on before us. No, Canaan land is a picture of the Christian life. Now, when I got saved, the same thing didn't happen. Now, I got saved when I was 9 years old. I believe a 9-year-old boy can understand that a 9-year-old boy is a sinner. 9-year-old girls might not be sinners yet, but 9-year-old boys definitely are sinners. Girls are too. Sorry, ladies. But I knew I was a sinner when I was 9 years old. And as soon as I realized, and I knew way before that, but as soon as I realized I was a sinner, now I was responsible for my sin. And so at 9 years old, I understood enough of the gospel to know this, that Jesus Christ had died for my sin. That Jesus Christ was buried, and 3 days later, he conquered all of that for me and for many, and for everyone, that we all might be saved. And I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as a 9-year-old boy, in 1983, when I got saved in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I want you to know something. The devil got scared of that. No, he did not. He did not say to all of the demons, "Well, Ben Turner down there in Chattanooga, Tennessee, he just got saved, so much for that." No, in fact, that's when everything began. That's when the battle began, or it continued in a different way. And I'm so thankful that as a Christian, we can be victorious. We can be, if we can use this term, it is a Bible term. Think of it in that way, not in the way of a corporation, but we can be successful. That's a Bible word. Have good success. So we can be. So let's take a look at these with the remainder of our time. Number one, here's the formula, God's formula for success. Number one, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. If you notice with me, in three verses, you're going to see that statement in verses 6, verse 7, and verse 9. Verse 6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage." Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." Verse 9, "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." For the Lord thy God is with thee. And that's really a key statement right here. And we'll talk about it in just a moment. Now, this strength and courage that we need, as we see in verse number 9, it is not within ourselves. The strength and courage that we need to be successful is given to us by Almighty God. This strength and courage that we need to withstand the enemy, to withstand temptation, to continue to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, Philippians chapter 3, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's quickly turn back to Deuteronomy chapter number 31. It's probably one page back in your Bible, maybe a few pages back, I guess. And just look quickly, if you will, at verse number 6. Now remember this time in our Bibles that we're reading in the book of Joshua. They did not have what you have in your hands right now. And we said that last week. We've said it many times, so it doesn't matter. Repetition is the key to learning. They didn't have the whole Bible, and yet God says, be strong. Boy, when I hear that, I'm thankful that I can go to 66 books, and I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me, etc., etc. They didn't have that. Keep in mind, they didn't have what we have in our laps today, in our hands today. And yet God still challenged them. Look at verse number 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 31. We should see those two words in that verse there. Be strong. Do you see it? Look in verse number 7. You should see it again. Be strong. Look in verse number 23. Be strong. Success in the Christian life comes by being strong and courageous. Now, the Apostle Paul, he uses the same two words in the New Testament. Now, again, keep in mind, Joshua did not have what I'm about to show you, but we have it today. So let's take a look at it quickly. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. And the Bible says, I'll begin reading for time's sake. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, what's the next two words? Be strong. Be strong. Now, you know, when I was in English class, I could not stand prepositions. I had an excellent English teacher, by the way, phenomenal English teacher. And she pounded it into us there in the school in Michigan, prepositions. You know what? That be strong is followed by a prepositional phrase. You see it? It's a very important phrase. It does not say be strong in yourself. It does not say be strong in the pastor. It does not say be strong in the missionary or the church planner or the assistant. It doesn't say be strong in the Sunday school teacher. It says be strong in the Lord. Aren't you glad that the Lord is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? In fact, time means nothing to the Lord. He could be available here and he could be available on Monday. It's already Monday in certain parts of the world. And the Lord is available for them on Monday and he's available for us on Sunday. Paul says here to the church at Ephesus, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. The context of Ephesians 6 is a battle. It's spiritual warfare. You can read it for yourself at some other time, not right now. It's the context of a battle that's taking place, and he says, be strong. How about 2 Timothy chapter 2? If you could turn over there quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says in verse number 1, thou therefore my son, Paul writing about Timothy, thou therefore my son in the faith, someone who I gave the gospel to, someone who I'm discipling and someone who I love very much. He says, hey, Timothy, notice what he says, be strong. But there's another prepositional phrase. Hey, praise the Lord for these prepositional phrases. You got English class here today. Some of you are wanting to learn more English. You got it today. You can put this down as extra credit for maybe your English class that you're in right now. In the what? Grace. In the grace that is in, more phrases, oh my goodness, that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong, not in yourself. Be strong, not in your mind. Be strong, not in your past. We can look back and we always think of our past as being filled with a mess, but you know what? God has blessed us in our past. God has helped us. What I'm saying is, don't be strong in what God did yesterday for you. Don't be strong in what God did last year for you. We're in a new year. We're in a new decade, I guess. I don't know. Somebody told me today that we're not in a new decade yet. Mathematically, it hasn't happened yet. I don't know how that works out. If you can explain it to me, save it and email me, okay? But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Be strong in the grace. You see, grace is not simply for salvation. Grace is for everyday life. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Success comes by being strong and courageous. This bold courage would not be in Joshua himself, but in the Lord. Self-confidence leads to ruin. Self-confidence leads to ruin, but God confidence, that leads to success. Quickly go back in your Bibles, if you would, now to the end of Joshua's life. Joshua chapter number 23. Joshua chapter 23. How to be successful. Number one, be strong and courageous. Look what it says in Joshua 23. And by the way, it's not just, and I hope you understand what I'm trying to convey to us today, and I need this as much as anybody in the room. It's not sitting down on a chair on Monday morning and just over and over and over saying, be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong. That's nice, but it's getting into the Word of God. It's saying, God, today I'm going to face temptation. It's Monday. I'm going back to school tomorrow. I know that Jay was rejoicing that it's... Where's Jay? He says, back to school tomorrow. This big smile on his face. He never doesn't smile. I mean, Jay is amazing. Smiles on his face talking about school. I love it. Going back to school, back to whatever normal is after some time, a different schedule. We need God's strength. We need God's courage. There are things that are coming in your life and in my life that we don't even know about yet. But who does? Our God. Our God who has all the courage and strength that we need, Be strong and courageous. Look at Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. I love this verse. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. What's he saying? I'm checking out. I'm done. Now this is the end. We're not covering all of his life, okay, and everything in between today. We don't have time for that. But we just started at the beginning of the baton is being handed to Joshua in chapter 1 because Moses has died. So the baton hands to Joshua and those commands are coming in. Hey, Joshua, be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong, and be very strong, be very courageous. Now we fast forward ahead to the end of Joshua's life. What's his testimony? And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing. I like that one thing, don't you? Paul said that too, didn't he? In Philippians. This one thing I do. Joshua says, hey, let me remind you of something. In all these journeys that we've been on, in all these cities that we've been battling, in all this time that we've been conquering different things in our life, he's about to go to heaven. He's about to enter the presence of the Lord. And this veteran now, if you will, in the Lord's army says, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to go to all the way of all the earth. But you know that one thing, that not one thing, hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. Look at this. All are come to pass unto you, and not, here it is again. Don't you like it when you hit that two times in one verse? Not one thing, not one thing hath failed thereof. You know what I think? I think this. I think Joshua was a man like me and you. He was a man of flesh. You know what? I think Joshua, we don't have everything about his life. We don't have everything about anyone's life in the Bible. But I think there were times in Joshua's life that he probably got nervous. I think there was probably times in Joshua's life where he wondered, how is this going to turn out? I have to admit, but I think, like Joshua, he wondered sometimes about what God had said to do. And I'm not saying that he did anything he wasn't supposed to. I'm just saying that the Bible depicts people exactly as they are for us to learn and grow from the way that they are. But here we see the last of the last of the words of Joshua is this: hey, God has never failed us. God has never broke a promise. God has never done one thing, as it says there, notice that, not one thing has he failed. Not one time has he failed of all the good that he said he would do. Not one thing had he failed thereof. And you know what? We could look at our life and I can guarantee you this, we can see failure after failure after failure in our life. And I'm pointing at me. I have lots of them. I don't like it. But when we look at God and we look at his record, even in just one man's life, Joshua says, let me tell you one thing. God's never failed. In case you didn't hear that, let me tell you one thing. He's never failed. Be strong. Be strong and courageous. Paul said this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. 2020 has something coming for all of us. Can I encourage you? Be strong and courageous. When I say something coming, I say something coming that maybe you weren't expecting. Some of them will be blessings. Praise the Lord. We'll all get in that line. But nobody wants to get in the line of challenges in 2020. But I submit to you, they're coming. But can I submit to you this? God is in those too. And Joshua says, let me tell you one thing. God's never failed. He's kept his word. Be strong. God's formula for success, number one, involves being strong and courageous. Let's go back quickly to Joshua chapter 1, and we see our second thought, and that is this. Number two, if we want to be successful, we must obey God's commandments. We must obey God's commandments. Verse 7. Partway through the verse is where we get our theme this year, part of our theme, that thou mayest observe to do. And I think we see that the trust part of our theme in that first point that we just gave a moment ago, but that thou mayest observe to do. Success requires obedience. Again, in our corporate world, success is attributed to someone who controls others. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm just saying that's what it's referred to as. You've made it up the ladder, right? The successful ladder. You're in charge of 50 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, whatever. But in this case, Joshua says, God giving him the words says, success is not to control a bunch of people. Success is to be controlled by God. You realize that I don't know who's not saved in here today, who's not a Christian. And I'm not saying that to be embarrass anybody. I'm not going to do anything right now, but I'm just saying probably most of you maybe are Christians. I don't know. I don't know everyone's testimony. Let's just think for a minute if there were in this room right now 100 Christians. I don't know if there are, but let's just say there are 100 Christians. Can you imagine what would happen if 100% of that number said, I want my life to be controlled by God? Because unfortunately, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you say yes and I say yes to God every time. There's been times in my life where I've told God no. There's been times in your life as a Christian where you've told God no. You weren't controlled by God. You were controlled by self. I was controlled by self. I made a decision. I knew it was wrong. I knew it wasn't God's will. And I made decisions just like that. You make them too. What would happen? What would happen if we as a congregation in 2020, 100 Christians pressing toward the mark said, I'm going to trust and obey. I want to be controlled. My God. You know what controls us many times? Many times our emotions control us. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, we all have emotions. We might think that the ladies have more, but that's for another day. I have emotions, okay? I consider myself an emotional guy. That doesn't mean necessarily that I'm just going to start bawling in the middle of nothing. That's not the only thing that is emotion, by the way. Now, if we did sit down and watch a certain episode or two of Little House on the Prairie, by the end of it, I'm going to be crying. It's going to happen. I do have that emotion in me. But what I'm saying is this. Many times, we're not controlled by God. We're controlled by our emotion. Our emotions tell us that we should not share the gospel with someone because of how we size them up. God's word says you should give the gospel to everybody. Correct? Hello, are we a church here? Yes, we're a church. Our emotions say, I'm too tired to be involved in this. And yes, get rest. But I'm just saying, many times we use that as an excuse when we know that this book right here, we need time in it every day. My emotion says, I didn't get anything out of it last time, so I won't get anything out of it this time. I'm not going to read the Bible. That's the enemy. The enemy doesn't want me to open the Bible. The enemy doesn't want you to open the Bible. You know what controls? You know what controls me many times? Not only my emotions, but the world controls me. The world controls us. Our flesh controls us. No, that's not what we want. We want to be controlled by God. Observe to do. I read this from Mr. Spurgeon. He said this: obedience is the highest practical courage. Let me just read several verses to you. Jot them down if you would. Deuteronomy 5:29, the Bible says, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always." Isn't that an amazing statement? Keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Deuteronomy chapter number 5, verse 32 says, "Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." Psalm 119, verse 1 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way." I love this next statement. "Who walk in the law." Who walk in the law of the Lord. Let's throw that prepositional phrase in there. You know, it helps when you live in Canada. It helps, and we live in Canada. It helps when we walk in the law of the land. If you don't walk according to the law of the land, eventually it's going to catch up to you. That could be numerous things. You understand what I'm saying. We have laws that are meant to be abided by. And the Bible here says that someone, in Psalm 119 verse 1, says that someone is blessed when they walk in the law of the Lord. The word blessed there means happy. You know, the most miserable Christian in the room is the one who's not walking in the law of the Lord. How do I know that? Because of what that verse just said. I don't know who that is. Don't point. But that's the truth. If we're not walking in the law of the Lord as a Christian, we're not going to be happy. We're going to be miserable. The psalmist says here, there's the secret. What does the word walk mean there? To live by, to follow. What it means, walk. To live by, to follow. Jim Elliot said this: "Obedience is not a momentary option. Obedience is not a momentary option. Obedience is a die-cast decision that is already made." It's Sunday. What do we do on Sunday? Well, we do a lot of things. One thing, we go to church. You know what? That's a die-cast decision that's already been made in my heart. You say you're the pastor. I wasn't always a pastor. I'm so thankful that I had a mom and a dad in my life, early on in my life, that said, you know what? Sunday is the Lord's day. It's a die-cast decision. We're not going to sit around on a Sunday and think, okay, so it's Sunday. Should we go to church or not? My dad, I never heard my dad say to my mom, should we go to church? It never happened. Does that mean that we were special in God's eyes? No, not necessarily. It just means that my dad, and by the way, just so you know, my dad's dad, I don't know if he was a Christian or not. My grandpa may be in hell right now, and I'm not saying that joyfully or gleefully. I'm just saying my dad did not have a dad in his life that emphasized biblical truth. But as a teenager, my dad went to a church camp, and he had been in church because of his mother, my grandmother, and I know she's in with the Lord. Praise God for grandma. And if you're a grandma today, pray for your grandkids. Pray for them. Love them. And my dad, as a teenager, got saved. My dad went to a public school. My dad went to a public university. Yes, a long time ago. I understand that. What I'm saying is this. The Turners, we don't have anything on God that you can't have with God. It's not about the Turners. It's not about your family. I'm just saying, obedience is a die-cast decision that's already been made. You say, but this comes up. Well, if it's a die-cast decision, nothing can come up. Whatever it may be. You know what? This is the Bible. Is it not the Word of God? You know what? A die-cast decision has to be this every day, that this book gets opened and you read it. And before you read it, you say, dear God, in heaven, I'm going to open the only book that God, you've ever written. And God, I don't want to just read it so that words pass through my eye gate. I don't want to just hear it through my ear gate. God, I want it to sink in today. Please help me. That's a die-cast decision. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've missed reading my Bible before. Not good. Not good. That was wrong. But it's got to be a die-cast decision. You know what you do the next day? You say, okay, well, I missed my Bible reading yesterday. That wasn't good. I needed the Bible. God, forgive me. I want to be successful. And there's no way I can be a dad, a husband, a dad, a believer, if I don't even know what your book says. Because how can I walk in the law of the Lord if I don't even know what it says? It's impossible. When God puts a period, don't change it to a question mark. Does God really mean that? Yes, God really means that. I'm so glad we have a loving Heavenly Father, aren't you? And by the way, obedience is not a duty as a Christian. Obedience is a delight. You know what the Bible says in John? I think it's 14:15. It's either 14:15 or 15:14. I always get those mixed around. It says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love leads to obedience. Love first, then obedience comes. It's 14:15, by the way. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Obediently, here's something I read recently. Obediently following God and reaping the blessings and rewards that follow requires a conscious and dedicated effort. This is something I read on Daily in the Word. We are surrounded by the counsel of the ungodly, the work of sinners, and the negative attitudes of the scornful. Yet God offers us the refreshing, life-giving Word of God. When we find our delight within its truths, we will think on it and obey it, and we will experience the good fruit of it in our lives. Look, success in the Christian life isn't hard. It's not complicated. It's just applying what God says. First thing he said is, be strong and courageous. The second thing he said was, obey. Number three, quickly. Number three. We've kind of talked about it a little bit already. Consistently read and study God's Word. We We see that in verse number 8. Verse number 8. Here's something I want to go back to about obedience. God's word and my commitment to obeying it are pillars that support my success. Pillars. Pillars bring stability. What is your life being built on today? We need some pillars, right? One pillar that we need in our life is that we want to follow God's word. We want to be controlled by God. And by the way, don't think of God as a religious type thing. It's a relationship. The Bible gives God, talks about God as being our Heavenly Father. And your picture of Father and my picture of Father, they might be different. When you look at our God as a Heavenly Father, it's perfection. It's perfect love. It's perfect supply. And obedience is one of those pillars that we must have if we desire to be successful. Number three, consistently read and study God's word. Verse number 8 tells us that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Here's a question. What is your plan in 2020 for reading God's word? What is your plan? You don't have to raise your hand and tell me what your plan is, but can I encourage you, have a plan. This is why the Lord led me to that little booklet that Brother Chapel sells on striving together. It's 30 days. Let's start off the year 30 days as a church family, getting in God's Word. That may be just, you don't have to do that. I'm sending out the devotionals to the email list. If you're not on the email list and you say, I want to be on the email list, please let me know. Give me your email. I'll send it to you. I'm just writing down things that God speaks to me about as we read through that little devotion. It's just 30 days. I'm just saying this. Okay, you don't like that plan? Fine. Have a plan. What is your plan? I remember hearing this. Having no plan is something like this. Having no plan is a plan to fail. I probably just butchered that. Somebody said that with a lot of intellect, but that's all I can remember about it. Have you ever read all the words of the Bible? Think about it. Have you ever read every word of the Bible? I'm not saying in 1 year. I'm saying in your life. That'd be a good place to start. I'm going to read every word of the Bible. I'm starting in 2020. It might take me 5 years. Fine. If we believe this is God's word, we ought to want to read every word, right? If this book of the law should not depart out of our mouth, hey, if we believe this is true, then we ought to read every word. I remember talking to people a few times, talking to them about the Lord and telling me about how the Bible is this and the Bible is that. It wasn't in a positive vein. And I said, have you ever read it? No. Okay. Okay. No, I didn't do that. I said, you ought to read it. That's a good question to think about. Have you ever read every word of the Bible? You see, reading and studying God's word, we have a promise. Now, remember what Joshua said at the end of his life? One thing, God never failed. God never went back on his word. Reading and studying God's word are going to help us to lead to a prosperous Christian. Ignorance of God's word will lead to disaster. Ignorance of God's word will lead to disaster. Meditating on God's word will help shape my behavior into doing what honors the Lord. What honors God? Do you know what honors God? How am I going to know what honors God? Right here. We have three others that would love to shape my behavior. The world, the flesh, and the devil. They would love to shape my behavior. They would love to shape your behavior. The path to success in all parts of life begins by conforming our walk to God's Word. Is there something in your walk that is against something in His Word? Okay? If there is, then we need to say, this is out of my life now. This is out of my life now. God, please help me to be strong and courageous, to get this out of my life that I might glorify You. That's where that daily in the Word is going to do it. It's going to reveal it to us. And we're not going to like it. And it will take some strength. It will take some courage. It will take some praying and seeking God, because it's in the Lord. Grace in the Lord. I gain strength, and we gain strength and courage in the Lord, in the Word of God. Lastly, would you turn with me to 2 Timothy as we close? Thank you for listening. I'm trying to be aware of your time. But I also want you to know, if you're visiting today, if this is your church that you've been at for years, weeks, months, I can say as compassionately, passionately, whatever, from my heart, I desire from Reese all the way to the back, Brother Alex sitting under the clock. He doesn't know what time it is, so that's okay. I can just keep going. And everyone in between, you know what I desire wholeheartedly first? If you're not saved, I desire that you would be saved today. That you would say, yes, I need Jesus. That's number one. Number two, I would desire that every one of us, and I'm using a term that's in the Bible, I'm not talking about business, okay? But I desire that we would see success in our Christian life. And it's possible. That's the good thing about this. It's possible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture. That's why it's so important that you read the Bible. All scripture. That I read the Bible. I'm not saying you. We read the Bible. Pardon me. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. It has to do with a maturity. I'm not trying to change anything, but to be a success. Truly furnished. Truly, from start to finish. Truly furnished unto what? All good works. You see, what comes out of this daily in the Word is that I can do good works, and those good works are for God. Don't leave out Ephesians 2:10 in your reading. 8 and 9 talk about how to be saved, but Ephesians 2:10 talks about why we got saved. We were saved unto good works. And there's a lot of good works that we can do for God's glory, if we're strong and courageous, if we're obedient, and if we're daily reading, studying. We already talked about obeying God's Word. It's right there. It's a formula for success.